How many of you believe God wants you wealthy? If you don't, something's wrong. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. And God doesn't mind us having what he owns. Somebody say amen. He does mind if it has us. We just need to be in the right position. Somebody said, well, you know, money's the root of all evil. Well, that's not true. That's a lie. And that's the devil's propagated that and perpetuated that lie on the Church of Jesus Christ for years. Money is not the root of all evil. Greed. The love of money is the root of all evil. Look at somebody say, the love. The love of money. I remember I had a man come to me one time, and he was obviously very truthful when he said this. And he walked up the front and wanted me to pray for him. He said, I just want to serve God. I really, really, really want to serve God with all my heart. I said, well, that's a good goal. I think we ought to want to serve God with all of our heart. He said, but I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, riches and wealth. I said, well, what do you mean by that? Explain that. He said, well, I have made millions of dollars in my life several times. Now, that sounds crazy to some of us, but I do know this. Everything in life is a formula. How many know everything in life is a formula? And once you know the formula, then you can duplicate that formula over and over again. People that, they tell me that somebody who loses millions can gain it back just as fast as they lost it because they have created relationships, friendships, design things that allow them to gain wealth continually. And so this man was obviously one of those people. And he came to me and says, I've gained and had wealth several times. He said, every time I get wealthy and every time I get rich, he said, I kind of lose my way with God. I said, well, that's not good. He said, so I'm just going to believe God not to be wealthy anymore. I mean, this is, and I'm listening to this. And because I don't want to lose my way. I said, well, it's not the wealth that's causing you problems. I said, I'm going to pray with you, but it's not wealth that's causing you problems. It's not the fact that you've had millions of dollars that's your problem. It's the fact that you haven't done right with the millions of dollars that's your problem. It's you don't know what to do with the wealth when you create it. I said, I'll tell you what, I got an idea. If you know how to make millions and millions of dollars, I said, then I think you should go out and make as many millions as you can and give them to me. I mean, what's wrong with that? And he just had a hard problem with that. I mean, like, the real truth was, it wasn't the earning the millions of dollars, it was that the millions of dollars earned him. I mean, if he saw it as the potential to give that away, then it really wouldn't have mattered to him. He would have seen it as a tool instead of something else. Let me read something to you that I read from a book, and I've had this experience. I was actually at a zoo myself recently, and when I was in this zoo, I saw this. I read this for myself, but this was from another man that wrote this, and I thought he had a good take on this, and maybe this will help us all. And as we talk about our wealth production and what God wants for us in terms of wealth, let me see if I can get my iPad out. In terms of wealth, listen to what he wrote and see if you can identify with this. He said, I was in the United States in 1997, and we decided to take a walk through a zoo. And there was an elephant, and I decided to read the story about the elephant. On the board, they said, this elephant consumes 140 pounds of straw every day. How many know that's a lot of straw? He said, and then it says, 140 pounds of straw is a lot, but it discharges 100 pounds of manual every day. So it takes in 140 pounds of straw and discharges 100 pounds of manual every day. So it's not permitted by nature to retain more than 40 pounds of the 140 pounds. And that is, if it is not safe for the elephant to retain beyond 35% of its intake. So for you to become a human elephant, you cannot afford to keep certain percentages. He says 35% of all you have. When an elephant starts discharging below that, it's on its way to the grave. I don't know what the discharge level is, but I know the principle is correct. That for us to grow beyond where we are, if we are going to become elephants spiritually, if we're going to become elephants financially, if we're going to have the effect of an elephant-type growth in our finances, then we have to have an elephant-type discharge. Look at somebody and say, I got to have an elephant-type discharge. Take it any way you want it, but it's the truth anyhow. Amen. We've got to get rid of it. There has to be a release that goes into it. You cannot create wealth without wealth itself being used to create it. It doesn't just happen without the use of the wealth itself. Now, I started this message, and message one, just to review, I said this. There were three things that we needed to have in relation to wealth before we got started. And I wanted to make sure we set the motives correctly. Because I truly believe in my heart, I've preached this message for years. And along the way, this is something that you are supposed to preach as a pastor. You're supposed to teach people how to change their mentality and become dreamers and visionaries. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge and lack of vision. And so they get settled into where they are, and they live within a certain place in their life and say, well, I guess this is my lot in life. But it's not your lot in life. It's not what God called you to be. And so I started by setting the boundaries of this prosperity by saying that we needed to do these three things. Because I've preached this for years, as I said, and along the way I've noticed how God will actually do what I preach. As I preach it, God does it, and people begin to receive it in their lives from all areas of life. I mean, I've watched people come in with absolute nothing, come right out of prison maybe, and be living in a box, in a halfway house. And now they're doing well, financially blessed, houses, cars. But then all of a sudden they're buying boats and Sea-Doos. And not that if you have a Sea-Doo, I'm not talking about you, it just came to my mind. But I mean, they're buying all these things. And then all of a sudden, the thing begins to consume them. And instead of church on Sunday, they're at the lake. Instead of church on Sunday, they're skydiving, on the beach. And they all of a sudden, God becomes a secondary condition in their life. I want to guard against that. I want to tell you that God will prosper you, but he's not prospering you just for you. God has a plan of prosperity for your life because it is him. It says that God is the one who gives us the ability to get wealth that he may bring his kingdom about on the earth. God wants to use you. Many people are stacked in titles. All kinds of people want titles. They want a title, and they want to have a title. You know, just ministry opportunity isn't what they're looking for. They need the title. We've almost become a title-oriented society. And once they get the title, they think they've arrived. Folks, I'm telling you, title doesn't do anything by value. It doesn't add any value to anyone. It's just a function. And we need to all be functioning in the kingdom of God and stop looking for titles. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Amen. Everybody wants to be a pastor because they think that the pastor is so grandiose. Let me tell you, on the other side of that desk, when you're sitting on this side of that desk, it is a responsibility. Amen. The Bible says we'll answer for the souls of people. What we say, how we act, what we do will count one day in heaven. And there'll be tears that God's going to have to wipe from our eyes because we didn't account properly God's people. Somebody say amen. So I started with this. I said, number one, we need the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Psalms 112, 1 through 3 says this. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Say, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Whose house? The one that seeks the Lord. One that fears and worships God. We need to be worshipers of God. And to just have wealth without blessing is not what you want in life. Somebody say amen. Then I said we need to seek the Lord. And I use Psalm 34:10 to talk about seeking God. The young lions do suffer lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Look at somebody say, I won't want for any good thing. When I seek the Lord. And then thirdly, I use this. I said Job 22, 21 through 25, and John 3, 3 John 2. I said, acquaint yourself with God. Acquaint yourself with God. We need to be acquainted. In my second message, I went further with John 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants you and I to prosper even as our soul prospers. We live in a strange condition in the church today. It's almost spiritualism. It's not really what it used to be. If I don't run, jump, hoop, and holler and get y'all flipping, which I could do, I could just start preaching and get a little ha going, you know, and the Lord ha said ha. And everybody think they were in church because I used a ha at the end of my and screamed a lot. Amen. Folks, we don't need a whole bunch of screaming and ha. We need whatever God wants for that day. And I watch people, they're almost mysticized by that stuff. They've chased after emotions, and they get their feel good, and then they come out, they're just like they were when they went in. But God said that as your soul prospers, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, have financial wealth, blessings financially, and be in health, healed in your body, even as thy soul prospers. I tell you now, here's what the Bible says. We grow by the sincere milk of the word. Let me say that again. We grow. The Bible says you and I grow by the sincere milk of the word. Let me say it again. We grow by the sincere milk of the word. I know it sounds good that Aaron's beard budded, which it didn't, but I'm just saying, you know, I mean, you hear preachers and they spiritualize everything. They can spiritualize anything. They can turn any word in the Bible into a spiritual phrase and make it sound like this, that, and the other. And you'll be running. But we grow by the sincere milk. Let me say it again. We grow by the sincere milk of the word. Amen. And so you can have, there are good messages, but you need what I'm teaching today because the church of Jesus Christ has been squandered by financial mishap. And God wants us to grow financially. He wants us to grow materially. And then I said from this, that there are those that Isaiah 1:19 was added into this. The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. How many of you want to eat the good of the land? How many think we ought to teach scripture? I read a lot of scripture when I preach because I'm here to preach the word, not Steve McCard. Amen. Amen. The Bible says we eat the good of the land by being willing and obedient. Look at somebody say, willing and obedient. I want you to know something. We have been given authority in Christ over everything in this world. When the world began and Adam came on the planet, God gave him dominion and authority. This is what JT was talking about earlier, dominion and authority. And God completely put him in dominion and authority over this planet. Through time and through the Satan's deception, that dominion and that authority was given away. Adam released his custodialship of the earth and this planet over to the devil. And so that's why when we look at this today, we can see that the Bible says things like this. It says that the devil is the god of this world. Well, what does it mean by that? Well, it means that he has been given authority by Adam, not by God, to act out. And so the devil has a free reign. He's allowed to be here because Adam in the garden did not stop him. I've often wondered in my thinking about the garden, you know, I've often wondered when Adam was away and Eve was at the tree and Satan was in that tree and he was talking to Eve, what was he doing there? Why was the devil in the garden? And the reality is the only reason that the devil was there talking to Eve is because Adam had not taken his authority and told him he couldn't be in the garden. Because God had given him authority to determine what was in the garden and what was not in the garden. And he could have walked right over to Adam and said, you're not allowed to be in this garden. So the very fact that the devil was in the garden was because man had not stepped in and put down his authority and said, you're not going to be in this garden. And for every man in this room, every person in this room, especially you men, you have an authority given by God in your home not to allow the devil to run rampshod over your house. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Amen. Men, I tell you, you need to step up spiritually because in there and get in your prayer closet, do some fasting and start praying, get serious with God. You say, well, how long is it going to take? I don't know until you get the answer. Yes, somebody say amen. Amen. Take hold of it. Take authority over your house. Don't let the devil come in and possess your wife.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I'm just kidding, ladies. That was a joke. It was a... Amen. The reason we have a right to claim our needs met through the Word of God is because Jesus came to this earth and defeated the devil. He defeated him. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. That's what John 15, 19 tells me, that we may be still in the world, but we're not of the world. When you receive Christ and you receive the salvation of the Lord, you are in the world, but you are not of this world. And so we can see from Colossians 1:12 that it says this, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has transformed where we sold out and the authority of the devil and transformed that authority back to us. He has given back to us that authority through Jesus Christ to subdue and to dominate and to overcome, not just in our spiritual lives, but in our health. Amen. I've passed up a lot of good opportunities to be sick. I've just determined I'm not going to have the sniffles. As soon as I see something coming, I fight it in Jesus' name. I refuse to have sickness in my body and in my health. And my health belongs to God. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I refuse to be sick. Look at somebody say, I refuse to be sick. And I have come to the point in my finances that I realized that three things were destroyed that were part of the curse of the law. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree, that the blessings of Abraham may come upon us. That's me and you. Talking about the Gentiles, you and I. What were the three things in the curse? You and I will believe God all day long. If I said to you, you're not saved, what would you say to me? Yeah, what would you say? You're not saved.
Oh, yes, I am.
You are.
Yes, I am.
How do you know? You would say, well, I know. You're not saved.
Yes, I am.
Because why?
Because I know I'm saved.
And the Bible says it, right? You know that. You're confident the one of the curses that was done away with was sin. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. Sin is not, I don't have to have it. I can live in the righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I tell you, I could go to everyone in this church and I could look at you that has accepted Jesus Christ, that has received salvation in their heart, that knows what I'm talking about. And I could say to you, you're not saved. And you would say,
yes, I am.
Yes, I am. And you're ready to fight me over it. I imagine some of you would even be willing to die over it. I can't say everybody, but I'm of the opinion that if I came to you and said, I'm going to shoot you, if you have to deny Christ, you'd say, I'm not denying Christ. Because you believe so truthfully in the resurrection, so truthfully in salvation, that your eternal life is staked upon it, and you have come to the point where you understand, I am saved. Hallelujah. Anybody agree with that in this room? I'm saved. Because you know that Jesus came and was made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree, that the blessings, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, what else did he redeem us from? Sickness and disease. We know in death we're going to heaven. We will live eternally. You can't kill me eternally. You can only kill this body, and then I'm going to heaven to live eternally. Is that fair? But I believe that by Jesus' stripes, I believe that. You can't beat that out of me. I'm telling you, every sickness that comes, every report that I hear that's contrary to that, I know I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for me that the blessings of Abraham may come upon me. I've been set free. I refuse to live with sickness. It may come, but it's going back where it came from. I'm not keeping it. I believe. The Bible says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Healing is the children's bread. It belongs. And yet, how many of you are a millionaire? Uh-oh. There it was. There it is. What else was in the curse of the law? Poverty was in the curse of the law. Poverty was in the curse of the law. But when will we get to the point where every one of us in this room not only will believe strongly in our salvation to the point you can't turn me away from it, but will also believe that God has wealth as a plan for our life. I mean, isn't it time that you stop settling where you are right now and say, well, I can't have wealth because... Or do you know my background? Do you know where I came from? Do you know how hard it has been to climb out? All I know is God said, it is the blessings of the Lord that make rich and add no sorrow thereto. That's what I know. I know that God wants you to have more than enough. My God is El Shaddai. He is the God that is more.
Amen.
He lives in me. Not once have I been able. I want you to think about this. Just think about it. I want you to think, Jesus, heaven itself. We know that the wealth of heaven, the Bible tells us what it is like, and that God owns the earth, the fullness thereof, all the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Then why would God not want you to have what he owns?
Amen. Amen.
Why would God not want you to have raises in pay? Why would God not want your businesses to succeed? Psalm chapter 1 tells me that if I won't dwell in the counsels of the ungodly nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but my delight will be in the law of the Lord and in his law as I meditate day and night, then I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'll bring forth fruit in my season, and whatever I do, whatever I do, there isn't anything in my life, nothing in my life, nothing that I do, whatever I do, I wish somebody get where I'm going, shall prosper. You say, well, something I did didn't prosper. I tell you now, don't you look at that. Let's look at where we're going. Amen. We can help where we've been, but we can help where we're going. Somebody say, I'm headed there, Pastor Steve. God has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What inheritance? His inheritance. What is that inheritance? What does he mean by this inheritance? This, he's saying this is things that belong to us. What belongs to us? And here is this inheritance. Listen to what our inheritance is. Found in Colossians 1:13. Turn over there. Colossians 1:13. Look at our inheritance. This is the inheritance of God. Who the Father hath delivered us from the powers of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Let me read it again. Colossians 1:13. He hath delivered us from the powers of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. First of all, you got to understand, you have been delivered from the power of darkness. You are not going to be. Oh, I wish somebody saw. See, the word hath is not a present tense word. It is not a future word. It is an absolute. It's telling us in the past, we had been, God has already delivered us. Woo! When you see the devil come, you got to know he's not going to deliver you. He already. Somebody shout out amen.
Amen.
He already did it. He already delivered you from sickness. He already delivered you. See, that word power there is that there's several words used, but in this scripture means authority. In other words, God has given you the authority over. I wish somebody would understand what I'm saying. God has delivered us. He hath already changed the authority. When you came into Jesus, the authority structure changed. And God took what was the authority of the devil to hold you in bondage, to keep your money down, to stop your promotion, to stop you from rising to the top, to stop you from living in hell. And he took that authority and said, nope, that's yours. Decide how you want to live. You have the authority. You have the power. How will you live? Will you live poor, destitute, downtrodden, discouraged, disgusted, busted? Or will you live blessed? He hath delivered us. Past tense, delivered. The power word is there, the word authority, which means he has given you authority. In other words, God has delivered us from the authority and the dominion of darkness. You have your money, your financial wealth has been delivered from the authority and the dominion of the devil. You can be a dreamer. You can be a visionary. You can go to the highest levels in life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So, well, Pastor Steve, I don't have the education. Well, you should. You should go get it. I'm glad for those that do, whatever skill level you are at or education level. But it does not mitigate you. It does not put you in a position that you cannot have what others have. God will pass it all by just to bless you. He'll reach over 1,000 people to touch somebody who believes. Hallelujah. I want you to come to the point where you say, that's me, Pastor Steve. That's me, Pastor Steve. That's me. Kids, I want you to come to the point where you say, I'm not going to live. You know, I'm believing God. I am believing that we're doing well. I always tell you that. But I can't wait to see how Steve and Brian and Emily do. Because if they get what I got at this age and they get filled with this knowledge at this age, they're going to take what I give them and they're going to go far and above where I've ever been. They're going to do far and above what I've ever done. Don't you understand? When you think about Jesus, Jesus said, and greater works shall you do in my name. When Jesus went to the cross and was dead and buried and raised again and sat down by the Father, and he said that, when he said it's finished, he meant he took back the authority, and he said to you and I as the children of God, he said, you're going to go farther. You're going to do more. I wish somebody would get what I'm talking about. Jesus didn't just come so you could do what he did. He came so you could do more than what he did. You are more than a conqueror. That's good preaching right there.
I like that.
And greater works shall you do. I know that's talking about salvation and all that, but if you just limit it to that, if you don't understand it, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Jesus being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree, that the blessings of Abraham may come upon us. You got to understand, Jesus came to put us back where we were in the garden and more. Somebody say amen. You ought to start believing God for your school bill to be paid. Start believing God for your car to be paid. Start believing God for your name. And I mean, God wants to prosper you. It is he that gives the ability. God gives us, Deuteronomy 8 tells us, he gives us the ability to get wealth that he may establish his kingdom upon the earth. You ought to start saying right now, Psalm 37, sure, I could just preach like crazy. Y'all, you ain't got no idea. Psalm 35:27. Listen to this. Just turn over to Psalm 35:27. Turn over there real quick. Psalm 35:27. Put it on the screen. Psalm 35:27. There's a joy. There is an extreme excitement. There is a pleasure.
Oh, yes.
Let them shout for joy. You ever been on a roller coaster when it comes off the hill? I know you're worried. I know you're scared and the belly's up in your throat and all that, but you having fun. You might know what I'm talking about. Put your hands up, put your hands up. We going for the ride. I don't know if anybody understands what I'm talking about. In God, we just along for the ride. We're about to come up over the hill. And when we head on down, the momentum of God is going to carry us into our promised land. Somebody say amen. Let them shout for joy. Woo! And be glad that favor God's righteous cause. That's seeing God's will done on the earth, the plan of God fulfilled on the earth, that want people to get saved and want people delivered and want them to hear the word. That's what it's saying. If you're one of those people that loves God, that wants God's plan on this earth, that wants to see God go forward, wants to see people in heaven, that's you. He said, let them say continually. God has to get it in your mouth all the time, because if he doesn't get it in your mouth, you're dumb head. Will get in the way.
Oh, yes.
I want you to do this with me. I've done it before. I'll do it again. For those of you who have never been here, let's just do it. For those of you who have, do it again just so it reminds you. I'm going to ask you to do something. I want everybody in this room to count to 10 when I tell you to. I'm going to say count to 10. And then I just want you to count to 10, but I want you to do it in your head. I don't want you to do it out loud. I want you in your head. Count 1, 2, 3 to 10. In the middle of that, after I tell you to count to 10, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to do it. Ready? Are you ready? When I say go, start counting to 10 in your head. Go. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who's still counting? Nobody. When you open your mouth, you shut off your head. If you're not willing to open your mouth, your head will talk to you and tell you stuff. You got to shut your head off. You got to turn it off. That's why God said, let them say continually. Look what he said to say continually. Look what he said. He said, let them say continually that the Lord be magnified. And then he tells us how God is going to be magnified. You can't make God bigger. He's as big as he's ever going to get. He's just what he will ever be. He will never be less. He will never be more. I am that I am. What does it mean? Because God can be magnified in you. He can be bigger in you. Here's what he said. Let them say continually, the Lord be bigger in me. Let him be magnified. Let God be magnified. Who takes pleasure? Anybody that tells you God doesn't want you blessed doesn't understand that God gets absolute pleasure. God is entertained. God is joyfied. God is blessed. God is encouraged. God loves it when you and I walk in prosperity. Let them say God be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God wants you to walk around every day, all day with your mouth filled. Oh, I know, God, I'm going to make you happy today. I know I'm going to make you happy today because money cometh my way. Money's on the way. God's going to bless me. I know I'm healthy. God loves me to prosper. God loves me to prosper. I'm going to walk in prosperity. I'm going to walk in blessing. I'm going to have a prosperous home. I'm going to have a healthy marriage. I'm going to, Shunda. Fill your mouth until you fill your belly. I'm going to get this across. I'm not going to stop preaching until everybody in this place gets it. That they know they can walk out with witty ideas and witty invention. That God wants to prosper you. That you don't no more settle. And you don't say, I got to live in this. This is my lot in life. No, you are a son of the Most High God. God has made you a son and a daughter. Somebody said, what's my genealogy? You might want to go on to, what is that called? The tree. What's that? The living tree thing? familytree.com and go find out what your lineage is, and you might want to go find out what your genealogy is. I got an answer. Let me show you what your genealogy is. Are you ready? I want you to turn over there with me to 1 John 4:4. Turn over there. 1 John 4:4. Because I don't know about nobody else. I don't know where you came from. Yeah, I got a mom and dad, but I'm going to tell you my genealogy. You are of God. I don't know about nobody else in this place. I don't know where you came from. Hallelujah. But I am of God. God is my Father. God is the one who supplies me. My heritage comes from my Father. My eternity comes from my Father. My wealth and riches don't come from this earthly Father. They come from my heavenly Father. And you might want to be from somebody here, but I'm from somebody there. I've been born in the kingdom of God, and I am of God. Little children, and you have overcome them. What have you overcome? You've overcome the works of the devil, all the principalities, all the authority that stole from you and took from you and took away. You have overcome the world because... greater is he. I'm doing a lot better preaching than you are shouting. I can tell you right now. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater. Oh, listen, you don't understand. I have never had a picture. I can't even imagine. I can't picture Jesus on a gurney with a bunch of people around him trying to resuscitate him with a thing over his mouth. 1, 2, 3. I can't see it. That's not the Jesus that I serve. My Jesus doesn't live sick and diseased. He's not poor. He didn't do without. The Bible says he was taken care of. He had enough to supply 12 disciples, their ministry wealth. I don't have time to go into all of it. Hallelujah. I am of God. I wouldn't miss one of these messages. If I were you, I'd tell you right now, I've got to pray over the kids, and I've got to quit for today. I'm going to read one more thing. I want to get it to you. But I wouldn't miss one. I'd come every time the door was open, and I'd make sure that I was hearing, because God wants to prosper you. I believe in this room are business owners. I believe in this room are entrepreneurs. I believe in this room are wealth gatherers, are people that are going to move higher. And you're going to be dreamers, and you're going to see things. You say, well, it hadn't opened up for me yet. This is just yet. I always tell my kids, I had a man hit me up at the gas station the other day. And I was pumping my lawnmower full, and I stuck the thing into my truck, you know. And this guy was driving kind of a beater. And he comes over to me, and I knew he was going to talk to me. He says to me, as I filled it up, and, you know, whatever it took to fill it up with gas, and, you know, kids were in there playing with the iPads, and all this. I wish I had enough money to fill my car up. I said, stop right there. I said, don't you ever say that again. He just looked at me like. I didn't tell him, by the way, I'm the pastor of Family Worship Center. Let me share with you. I said, don't you say another word. Say, don't say another thing. I said, change that. I said, you say, I can't do that right now. I have never once told my children they couldn't have something. I never said, you can't have that. You can't have that. You can't have that. I'm not willing to destroy their faith because the Bible says all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. So I always look at my kids and say, Steve, you can have that one day if you believe. You can't have that now, but you'll get it. Hallelujah. I want you to turn over with me to something. I want to show you something. We're talking about prosperity, and we're talking about wealth God's way. Wealth God's way. 1 Kings 8, 17 through 19. 1 Kings 8, 17 through 19. Wealth God's way. I believe God wants every one of you wealthy. And he said, Pastor Steve got up the other day and said he thinks everybody ought to have a Lamborghini. That is not what I said. Now ask me if I believe everybody can have a Lamborghini. Well, according to the Bible, they can. They may never get one. Because it's levels of faith. It's levels of growth financially. Dreams that you have. And I believe that God is a God of more than enough. When I say riches and wealth, when I talk about money and I talk about wealth, I always preface it to say that my God is more than enough. Somebody said, what's your definition of rich? It is more enough. But I can tell you right now that President Obama has to live at a different level of wealth than Stephen McCart does. You don't take your entourage of 200 people, all your huge SUVs, all of the military people, all of your staff riders, and drive up to the Motel 8. Could you imagine if today President Obama came in, the motorcade, 35 cars long, pulled up at the Motel 8? For the discount 35 a night room. Buy here, pay here. You know that thing? About hourly rate. No. He's got to go somewhere where it's totally secure, where he's totally protected. He's got to stay in a $25,000 a night penthouse because somebody might blow him up. His level of wealth must be different than mine. And so when I say that God is more than enough, wherever you have climbed in life, there's a place there that is more than enough. There's nothing wrong with you climbing in life. There's nothing wrong with it. And anybody that tells you otherwise doesn't know the Bible. But every one of us, as God begins to prosper your lives, just don't allow the boat to take you. I said that at the beginning of this. Don't allow prosperity to hold you. Get all you can, but remember why. Remember why you got it. And I want to show you David's example. There's nothing better than this example right here. 1 Kings 8, 17 through 19. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord. God, it was in David's heart. He had a passion to build the house and the kingdom of God. He became passionate for the work of God, passionate for the things of God. So much so that he even says, it is not so that God should live in a tent. Remember they had the Ark of the Covenant and all that, and it was all in the tabernacle, in the tent. And David said, that's not where God should live. Not the God that I serve. God that I serve should live in an elaborate, monstrous palace. I mean, that's all they knew then. Obviously, we know God lives in us. And let me say something to you. If David had the desire for God to live in an elaborate palace, then shouldn't you be one? I don't think we ought to put God in a broken down, broke shack. in a beater car that's blowing smoke out the back. I'm just saying. I think God ought to dwell. He does dwell in tabernacles not made with hands. He dwells in us, right? He dwells in us. You are the church. How should the church look?
Come on. Come on.
Wow. I give you time. I just want to give you a minute. This is one of those Selah. If you didn't know what Selah means, it means a pause. Selah. And he says here, and the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it's in thine heart to build an house in my name, thou didst well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house. But thy son that come after thee out of thy loins, he will build the house. Now I want you to go with me to 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 5. So we see a man passionate about God, passionate about the things of God. He caught the vision that God should look right, live right. This is 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 5. Listen to this. Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of God. I prepared the gold for things made of gold, the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, the onyx stones, and the stones to be set, glistening stones of diverse colors, all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affections to the house of my God. Let me read that again. Moreover, because I have set my affections, he had a dream. He was a dreamer. And his dream was to take God out of a tent and put God in a tabernacle, in a palace. That's all they knew then, remember. But he said, I've stored this stuff up. I've put it all done. And I have set my affections on the house of God, my dreams, my visions. I got all this other stuff going on in my life, but my love, I set my affections on God's house. I have my own proper good. I stored up gold for gold, silver for silver, wood for wood, onyx stones. I set my affection on God, and I have my own good of gold, of silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above that which I prepared. He had so much above in his own wealth, above what he had prepared because of his affection for God. How did he get it? How did David have his own so much that he could give of his treasury beyond what he had already set aside? Because God blessed him so much for what he had set aside. Oh. That God provided him more for the house of God. He gives seed.
Yes.
As long as the earth remains, there's a covenant in place. There will be seed, time, and harvest. Every time he puts something into God, God puts something into him. Look at the next verse. The gold for things that matter, and so on and so forth. He said, and who then is willing to consecrate his service? Who then is willing to consecrate his service to the house of God? Now, here's what I want to say to you. David did all of this with the knowledge he wasn't going to build it. God had not called him to put mortar and bricks upon bricks and cut wood. He didn't call him to design it and put the architectural plan in place. God had called somebody else for that. God had given the function to Solomon. You see, in this house today, if you ever get what I'm trying to say to you, you'll understand something. That there are people in this house that God wants to use. You see, not only that, God didn't want David to be the savior of the Israelite people. He was going to bring through. But because David had prepared the channel. You see, a water pipe with water in it is never thirsty. If you want to be an elephant financially, then your capacity to release.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Did anybody get what I just said? God prospered David so much because he decided to help the one who did. He decided to come on. See, there's a pastor standing in a church just like this, whether it be this one or another. Maybe you're not from this church. If you are from this church, I'm the man. God gave me the plan. He gave me a vision. He gave me buildings. He gave me ideas. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to cause people like you who say, God, I'm going to be a supplanter of that vision. I'm going to be a supporter of that vision, God. And you'll stay in there and let your mouth say continually, the Lord takes pleasure. God be magnified. Because the Lord takes... Holy Ghost just came on me right there. And God will put you in the right place at the right time, seeing the right things, meeting the right people, doing the right things. You'll walk into blessing upon blessing upon blessing. I want you to look at somebody right now and say, the Lord wants me to be wealthy. Some of you said it. And I just believe, I have to believe, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance that you get out of that old stinking thinking. You got to fill your mouth with the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. It's your lot in life is not where you are. I don't care if you're retired or not retired. I don't care if you're a baby or not a baby. God will prosper you in finances. He will bless you, and he will use you to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Just say this. God wants me wealthy. It ought to be better than that. God wants me wealthy. Wealth in my house, wealth in my marriage, wealth in my children, wealth in my my body, wealth.
Yes. Yes. Right. Amen.
You and 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 you. I break every form of poverty over your life in Jesus' name. I curse every impoverished thinking, every poverty idea. I curse everything that has strangled your money. I resist and restrain every force that has come against your finances. I command the release of God's blessing in your life. I speak over you in Jesus' name. You are the head and not the tail. That but prosperity shall come upon you and shall overtake you. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow thereto. I break poverty. I break everything about it. I say, this is your day. You're coming up. You're coming out. And it's coming free. Things that have been locked up are going to be released. Court cases are going to be rendered. Verdicts are going to be had. And every form of prosperity shall come upon thee in Jesus' name.